All right, thank you so much for joining us. We're in a new series at the moment. I'm really excited to launch us in this new series today. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at prayer. And we're not just looking at any sort of prayer. We're looking at something that's really exciting and really challenging me. We're looking at dangerous prayers that we can pray. And as I was preparing for this message, you know, I was really challenged by the words of Scripture and what I came across. And I just want to ask a question to you guys. How many of you believe in the power of prayer? If you believe in the power of prayer, you know, just type amen in that comment section, hit a like button, maybe even put those prayer emojis up there. But, you know, as Christians, you know, we believe in the power of prayer. Yet I want to ask another question. We believe in the power of prayer, yet how many of you could acknowledge that our prayer life could be more consistent? You know, I know for me, like, yes, I'm a prayer, but I still acknowledge that my prayer life could be more consistent. Some weeks, you know, I'm on fire with prayer, and then some weeks I just seem to be a bit distant in prayer. It doesn't seem to be happening. And as I looked through the words of Scripture, I saw that And we constantly say that God is an all-powerful, almighty God, and there's some huge promises in there. And he often fulfills those promises. You know, he said to Abraham, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Or, you know, he just told Joshua to walk around the walls of Jericho playing trumpets, and these walls fell. Or Moses just had to hold up a staff, and he split the Red Sea. Or, you know, Joshua said another prayer, and the sun stood still. And I see these big, bold, amazing prayers because we serve a big, bold, powerful God. And as I examined the Scriptures and I looked through the words and I looked through the prayers, I was left wondering, are our prayers too small for God? Are our prayers too safe for God? Why don't we pray some more powerful, bold prayers? And I don't know, maybe I got a couple of reasons. You know, some of us feel like we're just no good at praying. We compare ourselves. We see these, you know, these prayer warriors, and they, you know, as they pray, they quote Scripture and they use these big words, and you know, they're literally sweating as they pray, and then they talk about, I get up at 6 a.m. and I pray for an hour or two, and you know, I feel inferior when it comes to prayer because, you know, I can sometimes only just get 10 minutes, and I feel like my prayer is pointless sometimes, or I feel like I'm in a rut, or I keep saying the same old things. And I think one of our biggest problems when it comes to prayers is that our prayers are too safe. They are predictable, mundane, they follow a routine, and they're too safe. Lord, bless this food as we consume a pizza, or, you know, help me stay safe, protect me, Lord, help me find a parking spot. You know, help me find a boyfriend, or help me find a girlfriend. Help me not to feel this way. Help this, help that, help me. And as I look and I examine and I look at my own prayer life, there's a lot of me, me, me. And I wonder if this all-powerful God that we serve looks at our prayers and is like, come on, that's a boring prayer. Do something bigger, do something bolder, do something more powerful. Watch me work. I wonder if God looks at our prayers and says, hey, you're boring me. And I love this quote that I found. Mark Batterson says, bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or your boldest prayers. He is offended by anything less. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, then you are insulting God. Wow, that just challenges me. And then I got to ask the question, what's the last impossible thing you asked God for? I mean, something so impossible that you would never accomplish it on your own. And I think if we want to see God move in our lives, if we want to see God move in this church, then I want to challenge us with a dangerous prayer to pray. God, make me bold. God, make me bold. And we see this in action in Acts chapter 4. So if you want to get your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 4, that's where we're going to be looking today. But I just want to challenge us. Can we be more bold in our prayers? Can we ask God for the impossible? Do we want to see God do the impossible? Well, let's step up and pray those prayers. So we come across Acts chapter 4, and to set the scene of what's going on, The book of Acts follows the life of the disciples after Jesus left this earth. And it follows them going around Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth taking the gospel. They're preaching, teaching, and they're doing crazy things. And what we come across in Acts chapter 3 is that there's this lame guy. Essentially, this guy couldn't walk. He was crippled, and he's there begging for, it says, 38 years. Imagine begging for 38 years. And Peter and John walk by, and this guy asks, hey, you know, spare some change, give me some money. And Peter and John just turn to him and say, hey, gold and silver we do not have, but what we do have is God's power. So in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. They just tell this guy who couldn't walk for 38 years to get up and walk in the name of Jesus. And you read the story, this guy just gets up. He's healed. It's a miracle. And guess what? There's a big celebration. People are like, wow, this is crazy. Tell me more about this Jesus thing. And you'd think this is an awesome story. Well, the religious leaders didn't think so. The religious leaders are upset, and that's what we start to come across in Acts chapter 4. And there's a bit of a stir, there's a bit of an uprising, and the religious leaders are feeling threatened because they can see that their influence, their status, their authority is leaving them, that they're no longer going to have the sway over the people. So they're scared about what's going to happen. And to try and confront what's going on, to try and deal with the situation, they get Peter and John and they chuck them into prison just to curb the tension, to sort of grab their breath and work out what to do with these guys. And so they put them in prison overnight and they bring them out the next day and put them on trial. And in verse chapter 7, you come across, it asks, by what authority are you doing these miracles? In whose name are you preaching this message? And Peter responds in verse 8, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he said to them. And I love this phrase. It's one that you often see throughout the book of Acts, filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you see this word filled with the Holy Spirit, man, strap on your seatbelt because something amazing is about to happen next all throughout the book of Acts. And I think when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we can see amazing things begin to happen. So being filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness showed to a man who was lame and being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. I'd love you to say in your home, shout out, that was bold. That was bold. Type in the comments, that was bold. And why is this bold? Because Peter is basically saying, hey, you guys, you religious leaders, you killed this Jesus. You killed him, but God had other plans and he raised him back from the dead. And this is bold because the Sadducees, they didn't believe in any form of bodily resurrection. They didn't believe resurrection was possible. And these guys had authority, these guys had status, and here Peter is standing up to them, confronting them, telling everything you've known is wrong. Everything you teach is wrong. He's declaring war on them. And you know, it's not easy standing up to people. You know, how many of us know it's not easy standing up to our friends or standing up to our family members, let alone standing up to people who are against you? And here Peter is, filled with the Holy Spirit, full of courage, standing up to people who could easily kill him. And he says, hey, you've got it wrong. And because of this boldness, I love what it says in verse 13. It says, the members of the council were amazed. They were taken back. They were blown away. They were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that these were just ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They were amazed, blown away, that these regular, unschooled, ordinary guys were so bold. And I loved digging into this passage here, because you know what the word for ordinary is in translated in Greek? It's idiotes. And yes, that is the word we get for idiot. And so basically, what we have is these guys saying, how are these two idiots doing this? How are these two ordinary guys able to do this? You know, they're not trained like us. See, the religious leaders, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, spent their entire lives learning the scriptures. They devoted every single minute to this. They knew it inside and out. And yet here, Peter and John, guys who didn't even get any formal training, knowing and quoting and preaching the scriptures better than they could ever could. And it astounded them. They were blown away and amazed by these idiots who had nothing special about them. But they were incredibly bold for their faith in Jesus. So suddenly, there's a bit of a problem. The religious leaders are looking on, and they've got a guy that couldn't walk, and now he can. So obviously there's been a miracle. And they're afraid that Peter and John are going to start a movement. They're going to lead a rebellion, and they're going to take their status, their authority, their influence, their money. They can just see it going all away. And so they come up with a plan. They go to Peter and John like, hey, all right, whatever you're doing, whatever you're preaching, whatever you're saying, don't go and do this anymore. Stop it. Stop preaching Jesus. Not only stop it, but if you keep going, we're going to beat you, we're going to make fun of you, we're going to mock on you, we're going to spit you, we're going to put you in prison, we're going to be doing terrible things to you if you keep it up. So stop it right now. And so what do you think they did? What do you think they prayed for? How do you think they responded? I think, you know, if I was in this situation or if some of us were in this situation, we might have prayed, you know, hey, God, keep us safe. Protect us, change their hearts, change their minds, keep us safe and comfortable during this time. You know, keep us from this. But they didn't pray any of that. And it's astounding to see what they actually prayed for. In the threat of death, in the threat of persecution, they prayed a very dangerous prayer because following Jesus was never meant to be safe. And I want to incorporate this more into my prayer life. I want to, as a church, can we incorporate this into our prayer life? In verse 29, look at how they respond. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. See, in the threat of persecution, in the threat of everything that could have come at them. They didn't pray for safety. They didn't pray for protection, but they prayed instead for boldness. And boldness is an important word in the book of Acts, and it depicts spirit-inspired courage and confidence to speak in spite of any danger or threat. It appears multiple times throughout the book of Acts. Imagine what could happen in our lives. Imagine what could happen in our church if we prayed for boldness. To stand up and to be courageous. What would happen in our community if we prayed for boldness? Instead of praying for protection and safety, what if we prayed for boldness? Bold faith to go out and not only share, but share with our words, but share with our deeds. And I love it. The religious leaders, they were amazed by the boldness of Peter and John and the disciples. So a question for us to reflect on. How amazed are people at our boldness? If you were to scale it 1 to 10, you know, 1 being not very, 10 being, hey, people are astounded by my boldness. What would people say about us? Are we a 7 and 8? Like, people can look at us and be like, yes, that person is bold. That person has faith in Jesus. That person is displaying fruits. And hey, I want to be more like them. Or are we more like a 2 to 3? People can't really tell that we stand for something. People can't really tell that we're bold in our faith. They didn't even really know that we follow Jesus. What fruits are we displaying in our life? How amazed are people at your boldness? And I think all of us get opportunities to be bold. Opportunities will present themselves, some obvious, some not so obvious. And I just want to share two stories where I've had the opportunity to be bold. And they're just little things. And in one instance, I chose to be bold, and another instance, I chose not to be bold. And so I just want to share these stories with you. Both come from high school. We ran a Friday night ministry. Some of you from the church may know this ministry from Heritage College. We ran a service called Gospel Nights, and I was quite involved with it. And I remember there was this one time, you know, we have people coming, you know, parents often drop off their kids. It goes for about 2 hours. You know, you come, you worship, you have an amazing time, you hang out. But I had friends, they were actually in my class, that would come, they would meet, and then they'd meet some other friends, and they'd actually leave the premises for 2 hours and then come back when their parents were meant to pick them up and you know, deceive their parents that they were there the entire time. And we got wind of this. And, you know, someone said, okay, we got to confront them, we got to do something. And there was a few of us leaders, and I said, all right, let's go do something. You know, we're going to go in a group and just go and talk about it, say, hey, you can't do this. And so we decided that I would be the one to go and speak to them, but it was okay because we were going to have the group. And so off we go, and I go and I see my friends, and I go up to them. And I look behind me, and my friends who were going to be there to back me up and to provide support were actually upstairs looking down at me from the window, was just with some thumbs up saying, hey, you got this. And I'm like, great, where's my support? Where's my encouragement gone? I thought you guys had my back. And here I am confronting my supposed friends. And I just prayed, hey, God, give me the words to say. Help me to stand up. And I confronted this, my friends, my classmates, and essentially said, hey, what you guys are doing is wrong. You can't be using and abusing this place. You need to either be here or not be here. Make your choice, but you can no longer do this. And my friends were angry. They were furious. They couldn't believe what I was saying. And they were upset with me. And I remember down that track, later that year, they came up and they said, hey, although we didn't like what you said, we still respect what you did because that's not easy to stand up to your friends. And it was a small act of courage and boldness. And another story, has anyone ever had the door knockers come to you, or the religious door knockers, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons? Well, one time we had Mormons coming to our house. And they were awesome guys. We had great conversation. They were actually going to come back another time and we're going to have another conversation. And so they did. And we're talking, we're hanging out. And I just had this prompting on my heart. Hey, invite them to the Friday night service. Invite them to the program. Bring them along. Ask them to come. And it's a thought that wouldn't go away. And I'm like, no, that's silly. That's ridiculous. And I feel like it was the Holy Spirit prompting me. Like, hey, invite them. Bring them along. And I kept ignoring it. I kept pushing away. And throughout the entire conversation, this thought just kept coming back to me, and I kept ignoring it. I kept pushing it away. And eventually, the conversation wrapped up, and these guys left. And I was left wondering, why didn't I ask them? Why didn't I just say, hey, we have this Friday night service. You can meet some more people. Come along, because they were young guys. But I didn't. I chose not to be courageous. I chose not to be bold. I chose to be quiet. I don't know what they were going to say to me. I mean, the worst they could have said is, like, no. But I chose not to. I chose to be scared. I took a step back. And I'm left wondering, till this day I'm left wondering, what if I said something? What if I stood up? What if I just asked them the simple question? And I believe all of us get opportunities to be bold. Some of them obvious, some not so obvious. But we're always going to have instances where we can be bold. In the book of Colossians chapter 4, Paul talks about praying for the door to be open, praying for opportunities. Are we praying for opportunities? Can we pray for small doors, small openings, that we can be bold in our faith, that we can step up, that we can share, that we can display some courage? Are we praying for those opportunities? I want to encourage us. Let's pray for those opportunities. Peter and John prayed for opportunities to be bold in the midst of death threats. And so we come back to verse 30. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They were filled and spoke boldly. And you may be wondering, and you may be thinking, I'm not a naturally bold person. I'm more quiet. I'm more reserved. I'm more timid. This is not really me. I'm a laid back person. I don't want to be very public. I'm not very public with my faith. And that's cool. I get you. I often feel like that too. But in a biblical sense, boldness is not a personality trait. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you can be naturally quiet and suddenly filled with spiritual courage and boldness, which comes as a result of the Holy Spirit. It's not a personality trait. It's the work of the Spirit. And all throughout the book of Acts, you see that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And can we be asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can be more bold and courageous? And I just need to warn you, when you pray these prayers, hey, be ready, because God's going to answer them, and it might make you feel uncomfortable. Because when the Holy Spirit leads you, you're going to go to places you never thought you could go. You're going to do things you never thought were possible. And see, I've prayed this prayer. And you know what? Here I am standing. I never wanted to be a preacher. I never wanted to be sharing the word. I said, hey, God, use me. And, you know, if you knew me growing up, I was shy. I was scared. I didn't like talking to people. You know those class presentations where you'd have to go and share up the front? I would take sick days. I would try and avoid those. I didn't like doing anything that involved speaking. Yet I believed in God, and I believed in the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I just prayed, God, use me. Use me any way you can. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Make me bold. And suddenly opportunities started to present themselves. People started pushing me to do these things. And I'm like, God, like, not like that. In any other way, use me, but not like that. And he did. And here I am to this day, and sometimes it is hard to get up and share and speak and share things from God's word. Yet when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're able to do these things because it's not our strength, it's not our might, but it's His. Opportunities are going to start to present themselves in ways you never thought before. And it's not necessarily speaking. Don't get me wrong. You can be bold in many other ways. Maybe you're just having a conversation with someone and they're having a hard time, they're having a rough time, and it's simply going, hey, can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? Something as simple as that. Or maybe, you know, you're at work and the conversations you're having are going down a route that's, you know, not positive or not nice. And you simply say, hey, let's not talk about that. Let's not go down that route. Or maybe someone's gossiping or talking about someone behind someone's back. And yeah, it's very easy to join in on that. But maybe your act of boldness is saying, hey, we're better than this. God calls us to a higher standard, and either saying, hey, let's change the conversation, or going, I'm not going to take part in that. I think opportunities for boldness are always going to present themselves. How are we going to respond? Are we looking for those opportunities? Are we taking those opportunities? Pray that prayer. God, make me bold. God, help me to be bold. See, what would happen this week? I want to challenge you just this week. Every day, set an alarm, set a reminder on your phone to pray this prayer. God, make me bold. Give me the opportunity to be bold today, and help me to have the faith to believe you'll show up and do what only you could do. I want to challenge you just this week. Pray that prayer and see what happens. See what opportunities present themselves. And I believe if we're courageous and we're bold enough to pray these dangerous, faith-filled prayers, then we're going to experience three different things. Firstly, boldness is going to trigger spiritual opposition. Boldness is going to trigger spiritual opposition. And when we've got to remember, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we're in a war. And this is not a war we can see. It's not a physical war, but it's a spiritual war. There's things going on behind the scenes. And see, when we choose to be on God's side, when we choose to fight this war, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be things coming our way. And if we're not facing any opposition, it might be a sign that we're heading in the same direction as it. So when you're facing opposition, take it as a sign that, hey, God's working. This is real. This is happening. You know, you look through the book of Acts, these guys were bold, but you know what? They constantly faced opposition. They were constantly in prison. In the first couple chapters, they're in prison at least three times. And all throughout the book of Acts, they continually get put in prison. But they stand firm. They pray this bold prayer. And they don't pray for safety or protection. Instead, they pray for boldness. You know, following Jesus isn't a formula for life going well. But it is a formula for life being a crazy, faith-filled adventure. So number one, boldness is going to trigger spiritual opposition. Number two, boldness will allow you to see and often release God's miracles in your life. See, when you pray these bold prayers, you're going to just see God working in ways you never thought He'd be able to. God's just going to show up. And don't take it by surprise, because God's going to work. I love in the very next chapter of the book of Acts, it says they were in prison, and they prayed, and the followers prayed, and it just says an angel showed up. An angel showed up, and man, if an angel showed up for me, I'd be amazed. These figures are weird and freaky, but Peter and John are just cool. They're like, all right, an angel's here. What's next? Let's go. Let's keep this mission rolling. And they just expected for God to show up and God to do things. And if we pray these bold prayers, can we expect God to show up? Can we just expect God to do things? Let's not doubt it, but let's have the faith and the belief that God's just going to show up in ways we never thought He'd be able to. Number three, boldness requires faith. Boldness requires faith. It requires the trust that God's going to work. See, Peter and John, they were told, hey, stop preaching, stop doing these miracles, stop doing it. And the very next thing you see, they went back and did the thing they were told not to do. And they had the faith and the trust that this is what God was calling them to do. And it was this small act of faith that led to the movement of the early church. See, if Peter and John didn't have faith, we wouldn't have any of this. We wouldn't have the church today as we know it. And so I want to encourage you, what small act of faith, what small act of obedience, following through with that bold prayer, what will it lead to for you? And I believe, you know, small things done over time will lead to big results in the future. You just got to have the faith and the courage to do that small thing faithfully right now. And God's going to work with it. God's going to use it. See, small acts are never small and insignificant when the Holy Spirit is involved. What small thing can we faithfully trust God with today in our lives and in our church? And what can we see Him do? See, can we pray this prayer? Can we be bold and courageous? As a church, let's be bold and courageous with our prayer. Let's ask God for the impossible and let's not doubt Him. Let's expect that He's going to show up in this place. What could our church, what could our community look like if we pray a bold prayer? See, the greatest tragedy in life is that prayers go unanswered because they go unasked. So what prayers are we going to be asking God for? How can we be bold with our prayers? So I just want to challenge you this coming week. Pray a bold prayer. So let me pray with you right now. God, I want to thank you for these moments that we share. I want to thank you for time. I want to thank you for your word and the encouragement and the challenges you give us in there. And I want to pray that we may be bold for you. We may be bold followers. We may see the opportunities, present opportunities for us to be bold. Help us not to step back and to be afraid, but to stand firm and strong, knowing that you're with us in every single way. I thank you for everything you've done in this church and everything you're going to do in this church. Challenge us. Thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. We leave it in your hands. In Jesus' name, and all the followers in the room said, Amen.